The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
For those running the slides, just as a note, I extended the gospel reading on the slides. It starts at 43. I'm going to go back to 38 and read forward. So don't think that it's on me. It's on me, okay? It's what happens when you stay up too late on Saturday night. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. And now comes to the favorite part of my Sunday morning. It's not the sermon, it's that I can breathe now. This morning, we're not going to dive so much into 1 John, what John has to say. I really want us to pay attention to Jesus' words this morning, and it kind of ties in to what John was writing to us, hence the reason why those readings are read together. And so I'm going to cover what Jesus says and kind of touch on a little bit what John means. But I think that this is pertinent. The culture that we live in, it suffered some very sad and some very strange changes, has it not? I think these changes have become especially obvious since the election of our current president, Donald Trump. I mean, the debate in our culture has changed, has it not? At one time, we struggled to discern between truth and error, right and wrong. That struggle used words and civil, let me throw that word in there, civil debate to try and draw out the truth of any situation to determine what was right and what was wrong? What was the right and wrong action to take at that current time? But for many people, that has changed. It's changed drastically. And here's why. Because discerning truth from error, discerning right from wrong, that's no longer important to our culture. It's no longer important. Now many in our culture insist on basing decisions on what makes them feel good or what makes them feel bad. The goal, according to that mindset, is total instant happiness, total instant pleasure, total instant gratification. And furthermore, society should do everything according to this mindset. Society should do everything within its power to remove any negative consequences of any decision a person makes in their personal quest for total happiness, instant happiness, pleasure, and gratification. I mean, society now is supposed to step aside and allow anyone to do anything, even self-destructive things, if that is how the person wants to achieve happiness, pleasure, and gratification. No longer do we operate by the biblical definition of love, but love now is defined by letting me do what I want to do, even if it means destroying me in the process, both physically and spiritually. Once again, civil debate is gone. Now people use, just look at Facebook, right? People use personal attacks now to assert their point of view. Peaceful demonstrations have been replaced by riots and destruction. I mean, the slightest offense causes people to react with violent rage. Everything's become so dadgum. That's why I believe that the words that Jesus spoke today in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount is so relevant to a time such as this. I mean, Jesus opened his mouth, and this is what he taught. He said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles." And that's verses 38 through 41 of our gospel. And then he says in 43 through 45, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." And so what we see here in Jesus' words, what he taught, are in direct contradiction to the principles of today's culture and society, is it not? Our culture proposes revenge and violence in retaliation to any offense. Jesus, on the other hand, he taught us to forgive the offense and to love the offender. He even taught us to make ourselves vulnerable to a second attack. Goes against all of our American pride, does it not? What did he say? If anyone forces you to go a mile, go with them too. If anyone would slap you on your right cheek, give to him your left. Do not resist the one who is evil. Let him have your cloak. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him take your cloak as well. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, Pray for those who persecute you. He taught us to forgive the offense and to love the offender. To turn the other cheek. To go the extra mile. He taught us to pray for those who make our lives miserable. Now, I'm human just like everybody else, and I must confess that I find this very difficult. I find it very difficult. I mean, I still remember incidents from my childhood when bullies would pick on me. Now, I was a very large child. Can't tell now, can you? I was a very large child, and I was picked on quite a bit for my weight. They would pick on me, and I confess to you this morning that there are times that I fantasize about different ways that I could get even with them. They probably don't even remember me, but I sure as heck remember them. I'm Italian. Have you ever heard of the word vendetta? We invented it. And I have Italian Alzheimer's. I forget everything but the grudges. They probably don't even remember me, but I remember them, and this was well over 30 years ago. I remember the pain. I remember the agony, the mental torment. Jesus teaches me that I must love these men who were boys back then, that I must forgive them. I must pray for them. And to be honest, I really don't want to do that. I want revenge instead. The words of Paul come to mind. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. What about you? What about you? Do you love your enemies? Are you ready to turn the other cheek? To walk the extra mile? Do you love the one who offended you? Do you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? The answer is, and I know it, you don't have to tell me. No. No, you don't. Because neither do I. Then, as if we weren't already guilty enough, Jesus calls us to follow the example of whom? God the Father. He says, "Your Father in heaven makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. You, therefore, must be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." And I don't know about you, but when Jesus pulls the God card, and I look at his majesty, I look at his holiness, I look at the magnitude of his righteousness, and then I see myself, I realize just how small I really am. And that I pale in comparison to who he is. But as Christians, that is, people who have been adopted into the family of God, We are to follow the example of our Heavenly Father and love people, regardless of who those people are. Even the most unlovable people. I mean, what does Jesus say? That even the dregs of society are kind to their friends. What makes us any better than the dregs of society if we can't love those who persecute us? How are we emulating our Heavenly Father? Instead, we are to be perfect just as our Father in heaven is perfect, and we're to love even our enemies. And this is just me, and I think I can speak for everybody because, well, we all suffer from pride, right? I find that I am all too ready to take offense when someone loves me enough to the point to point out an uncomfortable truth or to speak out an uncomfortable truth about my life. I mean, the old saying goes, how many remember this saying? It's better to light a candle than curse the dark. Right? It's better to light a candle than curse the dark. But how often do we enjoy cursing the darkness? How often do we enjoy tearing someone to shreds verbally rather than examine what that person says in the light of God's truth, which of course is in the light of God's word, because His word is truth. How often do we cut someone down so that we can feel better about ourselves in those moments? Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount calls for us to follow the example of His Father by loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us. He calls for us to set aside the insults and the offenses, to willingly submit to inconveniences and to trials. He calls for us to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. He calls for these things, and to be honest, we fail miserably. We fail miserably. Fortunately, when Jesus asks us to do something, though, that is beyond our ability, what we find as we read the whole totality of the New Testament is that He does it for us. He does it for us. This is our story. This is our song because it's His story. He does it for us. He did more than just suffer the slap of an insult. He endured the cruel beating of mockers and the flogging of soldiers. He did more than carry your burden for a mile. He carried the sin of the world. He carried your sin. He carried my sin. Our unloving sin of gossip. Our unloving sin of backbiting, our unloving sin of hate and anger and pride, our inability to love our enemies, our desire to exalt ourselves by damaging others. He carried it to the cross, and He died to pay for it all. He gives us more than a cloak or a tunic. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us life. He gives us salvation. He clothes us in the clothes of His righteousness, His goodness. And I want you to see this, my friends. He does all of this in love for His enemies. I mean, we read what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in Romans chapter 5. He says this, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then he goes on to say, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly, for those who are by nature, by natural disposition, His enemies. It is for the enemies of Christ that Christ gives His ultimate love. It is to the enemies that Christ offers forgiveness, life, and He offers salvation. It is to the enemies that Christ offers His love for us, His loving heart to us. It is for His enemies. And as Christ offers His love to His enemies, now so the Holy Spirit works in those enemies to change them by the work of the new birth and regeneration. The Holy Spirit works in God's enemies to convert them into His now adopted sons and daughters. And the first fruit of that work is that He gives us the faith to receive all the gifts that Christ has earned for us by His finished work, by what He has accomplished. Not that we can stand on a foot on our own, but He earns everything. And by the perfect loving power of the Holy Spirit, we become children of the Most High God, clothed in His righteousness, clothed in His goodness. Now, as we remember going through the book of Ephesians, now we have every spiritual blessing given to us by virtue and merit of what Christ has accomplished for us. He did that for His enemies. We become the children who will live with Him forever, who will rule and reign with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. I mean, think about this real quick. With the exception of Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, every human being enters this world as God's enemy, dead in their trespasses and sins. God terrifies us, and we want nothing to do with Him. Matter of fact, that describes a lot of Christians today. God terrifies us, and we want nothing to do with Him. And as a result of the love that God the Father has for us, His natural born enemies, He sent His only begotten Son into the world, into our flesh, to rescue us, His natural born enemies. And as the result of this intense and perfect love that God's Son, Jesus Christ, has for us, His natural born enemies, He took our animosity. He took it and He went to the cross and He defeated it. He endured the punishment that His enemies deserved. Now He and the Father send the Holy Spirit to work in us by word and by sacrament. And as a result of that love, God the Holy Spirit has for us His natural born enemies. We now have the faith that receives all these spiritual blessings and gifts from above of God's love. Now we are no longer enemies. For those who are in Christ, we are His eternal children. And as His children, God enables us to do that which is impossible. Why? Because this is our story. This is our song, because it's His story. It's His story. God not only in Christ gives His life for us, but He gives His life to us. The Holy Spirit transforms us through God's love. Now that we have eternal salvation in Christ Jesus, He gives us the love to love our enemies. Why? Because we cannot perfectly love until we have been perfectly loved. Now, because of His love for us, working and flowing through us, we can turn the other cheek, because our life, we know it's not about us. As the sign out front said, it's not about you. It's about Him. Because of His love working and flowing through us, we can walk the extra mile. You were God's enemy, but in His love, He redeemed you. His love at work through you now can also redeem others. And you know what? It may even redeem those who are now your enemies. While we're in this sinful world, we shall never be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Know that there is no such thing as sinless perfection. But nevertheless, because Jesus has loved us and died for us while we were still sinners, the day will come, and this is our hope, the day will come when God will call us to leave this world and enter in to eternity, to leave time as we now know it and enter into God's timeline. And it's there in eternity we shall attain the perfection that God has for us while we enjoy eternal life in His presence. My friends, this is a tough, tough teaching, is it not? But that's why John tells us that we know that we are His in 1 John, that if we love our brothers, because it is His life, it is His love that loves through us. Do we pray for those who persecute us? Do we love our enemies? It's a sure mark sign of whether the life of God resides in us or not. And so let us take a deep, deep look into our inner man and see in ourselves. Do we at least have a desire to fulfill the command of the Lord? Do we think not of ourselves and trials and temptations, and we're more concerned about the redemption of the one who is harming us? Let us stand together and reaffirm our common faith found in the words of the Apostles' Creed.